holding on Gimel Amud Bey. 8 lines from the top. We're in the middle of a discussion. We were trying to figure out which Tana our Mishnah is like, Rav Akiva or Rav Shmuel. We said we had a problem with it being like Rav Shmuel because we said that you only have in Korban Shavuos that are about the future, not ones that are about the past, for the Shogeg, whereas our Mishnah implies that the same thing is for past and for future.
Rav Akiva had said, Rav Akiva says that when it comes to Helam Tuma, that you're only chayav a carbon if you didn't know you were Tomei, not if you didn't know that this was the Bais Hamikdash or these were Parchin. Whereas our Mishnah implied that either one.
You only chayav a carbon Rav Akiva if you knew that this Helam Tuma but not Helam Mikdash. That's so we started saying. Maybe the mission means okay, you have 4 cases, but some of them are chayev, some of them are potter. We said that doesn't work.
So then we said what it is according to Rabbi Shmuel, we would say that you have chayev malchus for all 4 cases.
And the last thing we mentioned in that connection is there are 4 cases when you chayev malchus, but only some of them are you going to chayev a chayev. If it was the shogeg. He said that Rava said that the Torah makes a ribui, that Shavuos Sheker in that sense is like a Shavuos Shav. A Shavuos Shav can be on the past or on the future, so therefore Shavuos Sheker, when it comes to getting Malchus for it, can also be past or future. Only on Korban, is a small saying that he did.
Okay, so that's where we're holding, 8 lines from the top. Bishleim achalti v'lo achalti k'dirava. Okay, so now let's look at the 4 scenarios then. Again, we said the 4 cases of Shavuos are where the person says, I ate this and he didn't eat it, or he says, I didn't eat it, and he did it, and he had eaten it. And the 2 for the future are, I will eat it, and he doesn't end up eating it, or I won't eat it, and he ends up eating it. So let's consider how you could get Malchus for all those 4 cases. Bishleim achalti v'lo achalti k'dirava. I can understand why, in the case of swearing about the past, then, fine, the reason why he gets Malchus is based on what Rava says, because of that ribui that we said between Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker.
That applies from...
So therefore, we said that a Shavuos Shav, by definition, can be either on the past or the future, because a Shavuos Shav is something which is either trivially true or trivially false, and then there's no difference between past and future in that. So the same way, Shavuos Sheker over here, where he makes a Shavuah, I didn't eat this, when in fact he knows that he did, or vice versa, fine, based on Rava's principle, we can say that that's why we would say he gets Malchus. And in the case where he swears that I won't eat such and such, and he ends up eating it, fine, you can say he gets Malchus. Sure, lav sheyesh b'maisa. Of course, it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. It's like any lav that involves a maisa where you would get Malchus.
When he says,
so that's the question. But if you have the case where he swears, I will eat this, and he doesn't end up eating it, how can you say that he gets Malchus? Lav she'en b'maisa. Exactly, it's a lav she'en b'maisa. So how can he get Malchus? Because at the end of the day, his Shavuah expires, and then at that point, then he hasn't eaten it. At that point, he becomes Chayev, but you can't give him Malchus on that basis if there's no Maisa involved.
According to Rava.
According to anybody. That's on the face of it, according to anybody.
No, some people say that...
The answer is sovereign. Rabbi Shmuel, lav shein b'maisa loikinol. Rabbi Shmuel can well hold that when it comes to that you can get Malchus for lav shein b'maisa. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, that works.
Now, what do we mean over here?
So Rashi explains that what we mean is that Rabbi Shmuel holds b'chol ha'toda kula, not like the rule that we learned back in Matthew, that lav shein b'maisa, you don't get Malchus. No, Rabbi Shmuel will hold that lav shein b'maisa, you're able to get Malchus. We'll call it Torah Kula.
Well, that's so far. That's what we're saying. But Rashi mentions a girsa, which
is the halacha.
No, the halacha is not that. Rashi mentions a girsa that was in the Gemara in front of him that said, in that case, how do we understand the Gemara in Makos, where we talked about over there, that said, where we discussed Rabbi Shmuel's opinion and mentioned the idea that you can't get Malchus for lav shein b'maisa. So Rashi says, you shouldn't be girdus. This is not actually part of the Gemara. It's a question that some Talmud wrote on the margin of his Gemara and by mistake got put into the Gemara, he says, because the Gemara is not saying over there that Rabbi Shmuel himself says that. The Gemara is discussed in Marcus at the beginning of the third parak.
Right.
We're discussing over there what Rabbi Shmuel might hold. in the event, we're going to end up saying later on in our sugya that our Mishnah is not really like Rabbi Shmuel anyway. It ends up being like Rebbe. So in that case, there's no real contradiction between our Gemara and the one in Makkos, and therefore Rashi takes out that whole part.
That it was written by that,
if he says that this question, that on the face of it, our Gemara saying that Rabbi Shmuel holds Lavshem and Maisi, you can get Malkus, contradicts a Gemara in Makkos that says that not. Rashi says this was something that was added mistakenly by a student. It doesn't belong in the Gemara, and indeed our printed Gemara don't have.
How does Rashi know?
Because he analyzes it, he analyzes it, and he says it can't be that can't be a valid question based on, if you look at the continuation of our Gemara and you look at that sugya in Makkos, necessarily, therefore, it must have been something that was put in. Necessarily, it must have been something that was put in by mistake.
Tosfos discusses that a little bit and says they agree that it's true that the Gemara is not necessarily saying as a definitive thing what Rabbi Shmuel is saying over there.
We're discussing back and forth there in Makkos what he's saying. On the other hand, Tosfos' opinion is that anyway, when we say over here, Rabbi Shmuel says you got Malkus for Lav Shein Bemaisa, he doesn't necessarily mean across the whole Torah, across the board. He means specifically over here when it comes to Shavuot Sheker.
That seems to be...
That's how we would say that. When it comes to this one case, maybe based on Rabbi Zerasha,
then we would say that's a Shavuot Sheker.
How did you know that?
So that's because that's how they understand. That's how they understand our Gemara over here.
It's the answer, but it's...
Okay, so then that's how Tosfos understands it. And therefore, with that, the Gemara may well have had the question that Rashi takes out, because
right.
The Gemara would have been asking, and the implicit answer is...
Case,
yeah, right. then the implicit answer would be it's only this case, and therefore it's not a contradiction.
The question is, why just this case?
Because over here we have Rava's Drasha that says that this is the same thing, Shavuot Shav, Shavuot Sheker. So there's no reason to distinguish whether in the future something that involves a Maaseh, or in the future something that doesn't involve a Maaseh.
Because of Shavuot Shav?
Because Shavuot Shav, Shavuot Sheker is Shavuot Sheker, and it's similar to Shavuot Shav.
On top of that, by the way, I should mention, on top of that, there's a further discussion among Achronim, and actually Tosfos alludes to it a little bit later. What about, for example, you could have, let's say, suppose the person at some point during the day goes and takes the bread that he said, that he's going to eat sometime today, and throws it into the ocean, where at that point it makes it impossible to ever
fulfill it. Could we say that there's a mindset? So we could have said that, but it's a stretch to say that that's the only case where he would get a shavua for l'haba. And besides that, also some of the Achronim argue even that maybe, because not necessarily the maisa there is not throwing it into the ocean. That's a side thing. Because of that, it comes out that later on he can't fulfill his shavua.
It's part of it,
but it's not really directly related. The hasra would have to be that you said you're going to eat it today and you didn't. Yeah. Okay. So the question is though, ihachi kasha de Rabbi Yechon and not de Rabbi Yechon. If you're going to understand the Mishnah this way, and say that it means that it's talking about that in all four cases of Shavuos, you're going to get Malkus, that our Mishnah is not talking about the cases when you chayev a korban, but rather the cases when you chayev Malkus,
right?
Then the problem with that is Kasha the Rabbi Yechon and other Rabbi Yechon, and then you end up with a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yechon. We originally started the sugya assuming that our Mishnah is telling us four cases where you're going to be chayav a korban b'shogeg for violating a shavuos vitu. We said that doesn't work because according to Rabbi Shmuel you only have two of them, and if we tried to make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Akiva, we'd have a different problem with the Mishnah. So therefore, we ended up saying the Mishnah is talking about four cases where you get malkus. However, if we learn that way, then our Mishnah, we end up with a contradiction between two things Rabbi Yechanan says. Because the Amr Rabbi Yechanan Halacha is Stam Mishnah, we know on the one hand Rabbi Yechanan says that as a general rule, the Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. Therefore, if our Mishnah says there are four cases of Shavuot, and the beginning of our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, and says there are four cases of Shavuot, where we're understanding it to mean that in all four cases you get Malkus, then Rabbi Yechanan would have to say that's the Halacha. However, but then we have another discussion that says Shavua Sha'ochel Kikur Zuhayim. If you have taka a case where a person says, I make a Shavua that I will eat this loaf of bread today, and the day passed and he didn't eat it, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, Dami Tavayo, ain't it like it? Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both say he will not get Maser. That's the point. In other words, if our Mishnah is implying that in such a case you would get Malkus and Halachah, the Stam Mishnah, then how can Rabbi Yechon be saying you wouldn't get Malkus in that case?
And said it's a mistake also.
What do you mean there's a mistake? Either the Halachah is like our Mishnah or the Halachah is not like our Mishnah. Now, they have different reasons. Rabbi Yechon and Omer Einid Loike, Rabbi Yechon says the reason why he doesn't get Malkus in that case, Mishum Dahava Lab Shein Be Maisa, because of the Lab Shein Be Maisa. Because again, you're passively letting the day go by without eating it. Yeah. B'chol Lab Shein Be Maisa and Loike, all fine. So he says, a Lab Shein Be Maisa, you don't get Malkus, unlike the opinion that we just attributed to Rabbi Shmuel. But again, if our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, then that contradicts what Rabbi Yechon is saying. But Rish Lakish Omer Einid Loike, Rish Lakish says, you don't get it Malkus. I agree, you don't get Malkus, but for different reasons. Hasra'at Safaki. Because it's the Hasra'at Safik. Because when are they supposed to give him the Hasra'at? If they give him the Hasra'at at the time he makes the Shavua, fine, I have the whole rest of the day to eat the bread. If they give him the Hasra'at at the end, too late, it's after the Shavua already. The only time, I think the Ritva says, fine, in theory they could give him Hasra'at when there's just enough time left in the day to accept the Hasra'at, but not enough to eat the bread. But come on, are they really going to be able to time it so precisely? Practically speaking, you're not going to be able to give him Asura before he makes a Shura, or any later time during the day, that'll be effective. Asura, Safik, Loishma, Asura. And Rish Lakish says, which we learned about this in Makkos, because of the Safik, we learned about this in Makkos, we had a whole sugya about this also, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, same argument, that Asura, Safik is not a valid Asura. It has to be, you give him Asura, where if he violates Asura, you know at the time he's over on a lav that he gets Malkus. Here it doesn't work because you don't know. He's making the shavua at 10 o'clock in the morning, but he has till the evening to eat that bread.
And
so it's not necessarily that he's going to be over on it for Teshuvah Dibur.
Right.
He has the whole rest of the day, in fact. So again, the only way would be if you're going to time the Hasra and do it within just less than Teshuvah Dibur before the end of the day, but come on, you're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So again, the question is, Rabbi Yochanan is saying you don't get Malkus when it's a Lav Shein Memaisa. Our Mishnah implies that you have four cases where you get Shavuos, where you're over on a Shavuos B'mezid and you get Malkus, and one of them is that case of Lav Shein Memaisa, where you swore that you're going to eat it and you didn't end up eating it. So how is Rabbi Yochanan going to reconcile that? The answer is Rabbi Yochanan stomach rinashta. Yes, but Rabbi Yochanan found a different Stam Mishnah that shows that you don't get a Malkus for a Lav Shein Memaisa. So he can follow this other Stam Mishnah. He can say, fine, you have Stam Mishnahs that contradict each other. Okay, of necessity they contradict each other. Therefore, we're going to have to pick one over the other. We're going to say, therefore, the Halacha is like that other one and not like this one. That you don't get Malkus for
to avoid the contradiction.
So he will say, yes, our Mishnah says that in all four cases you'll get Malkus. However, since there's a different Stam Mishnah that says that you don't get Malkus for a Lav Shein Memaisa, that means only three of the four cases in our Mishnah are going to get Malkus. Okay. So the question is, Heis Doma. Which Stam Mishnah did Rabbi Yochanan find to that effect? Ilay Mahai Stoma, you're going to say that he found the following Stam Mishnah, Zitznan, a Mishnah in Psachim. That the Mishnah says over there that if you break a bone in the Korban Pesach and you chayav Malkus, because the pasuk says the etzem lo tishkurubay. However, avala moser b'tahor, but if somebody leaves over meat from a Korban Pesach that was tahor, or vashova b'tomei, or somebody who breaks a bone from a Korban Pesach that was tamei, einid loike esagoyim, he does not get Malkus, and we have to figure why not. Bishleim eshova b'tomei, I can understand why if he breaks a bone from a Korban Pesach, which is tamei, he doesn't get Malkus. Because the pasuk says you shouldn't break a bone in it, and the word in it is a miut b'kosher v'lei b'posel. It means only if the Korban is kosher, not if it's posel. Kosher and posel is not really the correct term, because the even if the Korban Pesach was brought to tumah, it's still eaten. What we mean, in other words, that not one that was tahor, not one that was done the usual way it should be done. Avalam Moise b'tahor, but we have to ask, if a person leaves over meat from a Korban Pesach, which was tahor, my timer, why should he not be
chayav Malkus? Lav Mishum D'Alei Lav Shein Memaisa. Evidently, it must be because the Lav Shein Memaisa. So again, you're passively leaving it on the table, and then the clock ticks, and eventually Katzos to Alosha Shaka comes, and so there's no Maisa involved. V'chol Lav Shein Memaisa in Loikin Olav. So therefore, sort of Yechanan can say, fine, on the basis of that Mishnah in Psachim, you don't get Malkus for Lav Shein Memaisa. Our Mishnah seems to contradict that. Okay, we have two Stam Mishnahs contradicting each other. I say, yes, Halachah is Stam Mishnah, but if they contradict each other, fine, I'm entitled to pick one over the other.
And because of what? You pick one.
And because the fact is, you have two Stam Mishnahs. He can understand that. He can understand that our Mishnah represents the original opinion, represents the opinion. Our Mishnah could represent the opinion of only one Tana, such as of Ishmael. The one in Psachim might represent the opinion of all the other Tanaim. So in each case, Rebbe wrote it as a Stam Mishnah because fine, when he wrote Mishnayos, when he composed Mishnayos Shavuot, he thought at the time the halacha was like Rebbe Shmuel and therefore wrote appropriately. And later on, when he wrote Psachim, when it came to Psachim, then he changed his mind and decided that it's to write as a Stam Mishnah instead that you don't.
Okay.
However, the problem with that is, reminded of Yaakov, who says that Mishnah in Psachim is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, Dama Lav Sheim Mimaisa Im Loikin Olav, who says that, in fact, you don't get Machlokes for Lav Sheim Mimaisa. Because we're going to see in a second, we have a Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, about the reason why you don't get Malkus for leaving over from the Korban Pesach. Again, we discussed this in Machlokes, we discussed this a week and a half or so ago in Machlokes. So Rabbi Yaakov's understanding of that Mishnah, of that Din, is indeed because it's a Lav Sheim Mimaisa. Fine, if we understand the Mishnah that way, then fine. But who says that? Whose opinion the Mishnah represents? Dilma Rabbi Yehudahi. Maybe that Mishnah in Psachim actually goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or Mishum Debarkos of Litn Esach Haloyses. And the only reason Rabbi Yehuda says you potter in the case of Noiser, in the case of leaving it over, not because of Lav Shein Meimaisa, but rather because it's a Lav that is followed by an Esach.
Hol Lav Hochi, meaning it's a Lav Nitzik Lav.
Hol Lav Hochi Lucky. And if it weren't for that, Rabbi Yehuda would say you would indeed get Malkus.
Because you can fix it up by burning it afterwards. So the don't leave it over, and if you do, then you should burn.
The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, which again we learned we learned this in Makkos, when the Pasuk says Loise Sidim Menu Ad Boker, Hanoise Menu Ad Boker by Ishtis Tzorechu, when the Pasuk says don't leave over from it till the morning, and whatever is left over from it until the morning, you should burn in fire. What does that mean? Barkos of Litten Esah Haloise. Saying the Pasuk is coming to tell us that you have an Esah which is following the Loise. Meaning if you violated the Loise, then make up for it by doing the Esah. Loi Mashayin Loiken, all of to say that you, which implies that you don't get Malkus for it. Divir Rabbi Yehuda.
If you do this.
Well, yeah, I mean, so the Rambam discusses in a few places. We learned in Makkos, we learned about the whole concept of kimoy, bitloy. The Rambam in different places talks about the different aspects of it, but in general, the Rambam's shitta is that if you did something that prevents the Esther from ever being done, yes, you can get Malkus for the Loisa. The example we had by Shalor Hakan, for example,
right.
and then in Malkus over there was, let's say, for example, you killed the mother bird before doing the mitzvah of sending it away.
Right.
So then you would get Malkus. But other than that, in this case, you don't really have that. In this case of Noisa, you don't really have that. The mitzvah is to burn it. So if you destroy it, then okay, you burnt it. But so, Rabbi Yehuda says the only reason you don't get Malkus in that case is because it's a lava nitik lasa. If it weren't a lava nitik lasa, you would get Malkus.
If the lava came in my case, but you just left it on the table, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't make a difference.
You can still get Malkus for that.
So maybe then the Mishnah is talking and not telling us that a lava came in the mic, you don't get Malkus. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us that you don't get Malkus for a lava nitik lasa.
Rabbi Yaakov Omer Lo Min Hashem Uzeh. Then the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yaakov says that's not the reason why you don't get Malkus. Ela Mishum to have a Lav Shein Memaisa. The reason is because the Lav Shein Memaisa, the Lav Shein Memaisa, and Lokanola.
One says
it's because the Lav Nitiklas, and the other says it's because it's a Lav Shein Memaisa. Now the Ritva points out it's not like Rabbi Yaakov doesn't agree that a lava nitik lasi you don't get malchus. Well, everybody agrees a lava nitik lasi you don't get malchus.
This is not okay.
No, but what Rabbi Yaakov is saying is, unlike you, Rabbi Yehuda, who are understanding that this is the case of lava nitik lasi, I don't understand this to be that. I understand what is the pasuk telling us when it tells us that whatever's left over you should burn with fire.
The Torah is not telling us if you were over on leaving it over, then make up for it by burning it. Rather, the Torah is bringing those
words to teach us a different din. When are you allowed to burn kodshim that became possible? That you're not allowed to burn them on Yom Tov, you have to burn them after Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. Ad Boker means not the following morning, the first
day of Pesach, but rather the following morning, the morning of Chazayin Nisan, the first day of Chol HaMoed. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yaakov, it's not a lava nitik lasa. So therefore, according to him, the only reason to make you potter would be because it's a lava shein memaisa. So again, so the Mishnah is something. just says generically that if you leave over from a Kohen Pesach, you don't get malchus. It doesn't specify the reason. So we don't know. Is the reason
because of what Rabbi Yaakov says, or is it because of what Rabbi Yehuda says? So how can Rabbi Yochanan use that as a proof that Lav Shein Memaisi, you don't get malchus, against our mission?
He's using his own opinion of it.
But how does he know that the Mishnah there is like Rabbi Yaakov and not like Rabbi Yehuda?
Erla Hai Soma. So we reject that. However, we can say that Rabbi Yochanan found yet another Sam Mishnah that addresses this issue. Namely, we have later on the third paragraph, we say as follows. Shvur Shalayat, or Kikr Zu Shvur Shalayat Lev. If a person says, I'm making a Shvur that I will not eat this loaf of bread, and then again, a Shvur that I will not eat it.
V'achla, and later on he eats it. Two Shvurs that he's not going to eat it. He only is chayev for breaking one shvur. The reason is, Rashi says, now we're going to have a concept later on in the Masechta when we talk about shvur spitri, we're going to have a general concept called ein shvur chol al shvur. That you can't have one shvur that chal on it. No, that's exactly what we're saying. But the reason behind that one shvur can't be chal on top of another one, but the reason behind it, Rashi says over here, is like this. Once you made the first shvur, then it becomes also to you. When you make a shvur on it again, effectively, what you're doing is you're making a shvur to keep a mitzvah. And later on, we're going to say, keep a mitzvah, because you have a mitzvah now. You having made a shvur not to eat this bread, you now have a mitzvah to keep that shvur and not eat it. So when you make another shvur, I'm not going to eat it, that amounts to a shvur to keep a mitzvah.
To keep the previous shvur?
To keep the previous shvur, which is a mitzvah. And if a person makes a shvur to keep
so
a mitzvah, but if a person makes a shvur, we're going to say later on in our perek, that in the third paragraph, actually, later, we're going to say that if a person does that, a person makes a shvur to keep a mitzvah, and he doesn't end up doing it, he's potter from shvur, he's potter from a carbon.
Maybe he's potter, but
he's fine, but he's not high of a carbon.
Okay, and he's not interested on whether or not he was higher.
Right. So zuhi shvur spitur shachayoven al zoyne makas vashar gosa carbon ol v'yerin. And the Mishnah continues over there. This is the case. This is the case where a person would be chayev for a shvur if he was over on a shvur b'mezid, he'd be chayev malchus. V'al shegagos a korban olav yored, and if he did it b'shogeg, he would bring a korban olav yored, implying zuhi dechayoven al zoyna malchus. Only in that kind of case where the person swore that he's not going to eat it and then he eats it. That is the case where he'd be chayev malchus and where he'd be chayev malchus or a korban. But the Mishnah seems to be implying by saying zuhi that in the converse case, if he made a shvur that he will eat it and he didn't end up eating it,
he would not.
Then it sounds like he would not get malchus. Why? Because presumably it has to be because it's a lav shein b'maisa. So there you go. So Rabbi Yochanan has a stam Mishnah.
When he won't eat it and he does, that's a lav shein.
That's a lav. When he says that I'm not going to eat it and he does, that's a lav shein b'maisa. Yes, b'maisa. Yes,
b'maisa.
So then he gets malchus. So all we said is if he does such a shvur twice, he can only be chayav once. But the Mishnah seems to be implying that the other way around. If he made a shvur that I will eat it and he doesn't end up eating it, then he's not chayav malchus and he's not chayav korban. Well, why would that be? Because it's not a, because the lav shein b'maisa. Well, there you go. That's what Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan has a stam Mishnah on his side. Again, our stam Mishnah contradicts it. Okay, of necessity, you have two stam Mishnahs that contradict each other, and therefore he's entitled to pick one.
Because it could be from two different.
Now we got to ask the question. Mechti. Well, let's consider high sum of high sum. Okay, but after all, they're both stam Mishnahs. My chazi de ovitzi. Generally, a stam Mishnah is from a mayor. That's neither here nor there. The point is, they're both stam Mishnahs. Rabbi Yochanan is saying halachic a stam Mishnah because what he's saying is, when you have a stam Mishnah, it means that Rebbe or the Chachamim from before him, whenever these particular Mishnahis were arranged, the Chachamim of those times determined that the halacha should be this way, and therefore it was put as a stam statement to imply that the majority agrees with it. So if you have two stam mishnas, one in our perek and one in the third perek, why is Rabbi Yochanan preferring the one of the third perek over our own? High stam of a high stam. Let's consider each one of the stam mishnah. My chazi de ovid ki hachi. Why does Rabbi Yochanan feel that it's right to follow la halacha the second stam mishnah? Let him follow ours, and therefore say that you would be chayav on a lav shein b'maisa. Okay, so the question is, the Gemara fires back, and according to your own svara, Rebbe Gufei. So you have to, then you should ask the question on Rebbe himself. You should ask the question on Rebbe himself. So what was he thinking? Why did he make a Stam Mishnah in the first parak according to one opinion and the third parak according to another opinion?
Rather than Rebbe Yehuda.
You're asking the question on Rebbe Yochanan why he's preferring one Stam Mishnah over the other. You may as well ask the question on Rebbe himself, why he composed the Mishnah Stamri. We have to say like this, Elame Ikra Sover Lav Shein Remaisa Loikin Olav must be like this. Originally Rebbe held that a Lav Shein Remaisa you do get Malkus for, the Sosma, and therefore he created a Stam Mishnah according to that, which is our Mishnah. V'hoder Sover Ein Loikin Olav. Later on, Rebbe came to the conclusion that you don't get Malkus for such a thing. The Sosma, and therefore he made the Stam Mishnah in the third parak like that. And therefore Rebbe Yochanan knows that. Rabbi Yechanan, within one Masechta, we'd say there is a Seder.
Right.
So therefore, if we're within one Masechta, if we have two Stam Mishnahs, and that's why he chose the second one. That's why he chose the second one, because he knows that that represents Rebbe's final conclusion. Then why was our Mishnah left in the form that it is?
Yeah.
Well, Mishnah, lo zazim em kaimim, because the Mishnah didn't move from its place, meaning like this, by the time it got to the third parak, most of the Talmidim were already familiar with the formula in our Mishnah, with the wording in our Mishnah, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, and therefore in the generations after Rebbe, you couldn't easily be Mevatalit. So therefore, they left the wording was left intact because everybody was used to that wording. Remember, the Mishnayos were Baal Peh. Everybody learned them Baal Peh. So what we did is therefore Rebbe made sure in the third parak he created a Stam Mishnah according to the opinion that Lav Shein Memaisi you don't get Malkus, and he left it up to the Talmidim to understand, like Rabbi Yochanan did, that it means that he changed his mind and the original one is just left in its original wording, but the one in the third parak represents the actual conclusion.
And then the initial one left in the initial wording was left.
It was left because that's how people were learning it, and it would have been confusing. It would have been hard to take it out and make them change the wording that they were accustomed to learning.
That's
our objection is understanding it. But yeah, that's we find that concept Mishnah Lezazim and Kromer in other places in Shas. That sometimes you have wording in a Mishnah that for whatever reason is not precise or whatever, but that is how the Talmidim, that's how the Chachamim were in the habit of learning it, and therefore it was left alone even though the Halacha later on was decided.
And they know that it's not the Halacha.
And we're meant to know that it's not the Halacha. Okay. Fine. Okay. So now, let's consider. Ramai Ukimta. So now, the bottom line is, what have we said so far? That our Mishnah, apparently, could have been Shmuel. We're saying that so far we established that our Mishnah then is going like Rabbi Shmuel, Ulam Malkus, and you're saying that when the Mishnah says, Shvuas Shtayim Shein Abra, and Yediyas Atuma Shtayim Shein Abra, it means that in all four cases of Shavuot and in all four cases of Yediyas HaTumah, or not Yediyas HaTumah, that's Korbanos, that's a different thing, but in all four cases of Shavuot, there are going to be Malkus, meaning again, we started the sugya by assuming that Shavuot Shtayim Shein Arba meant four cases where you have to bring a Korban, or Levir. Then we said that no, if we want to make our Mishnah work like Rabbi Shmuel, we say it means that no, there are four cases where you get Malkus. Only two of them would you bring a Korban. The problem with that is Maris Negoyim, my Malkus Niker. If you're going to understand it that way, then when it comes to Maris Negoyim, what kind of Malkus is there involved? When we say in the Mishnah, Maris Negoyim, Shain Shein Arba, now Maris Negoyim is actually the last thing in our Mishnah. You have we mentioned Shavuos, Yediyas HaTumah, Yitzias HaShabbos, and Maris Negoyim.
What's the problem with Maris Negoyim if you say that?
The problem is that the problem is that if we should assume all the four cases in the Mishnah are talking about similar ideas. So we can say like this, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba means there were four cases where you're over on a, where you did a false Shavuah and you're getting Malkus. Yediyas HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba, there were four cases where you knew that you were Tomei and you can get Malkus. Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, there are four cases where you can get Mitzvah. We're going to talk soon about Malkus. What would be Maris Negoyim? Why? And what do you mean, Maris Negoyim, Shtayim Shein Arba? How is Malkus relevant to Maris Negoyim? Now, Tosfos says it doesn't mean that there's four different ways of that if the person knows he's Tomei, he's going to be, and goes into the Beis Mikdash or whatever, he's going to be Chayav Malkus. That's the same as Yediyas HaTumah. Yediyas HaTumah means the person knows he's Tomei regardless. whether he knows he's tome from a sheret or saras or zivus
right.
or what have you. Yes.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
That's something specific about
negoyim, exactly. So on the face of it there isn't. So in that case, how can we understand that the rest of the Mishnah is talking about cases where you're going to get malchus if the one from negoyim is not? Negoyim, by the way, is the last thing in the Mishnah. The reason why the Mishnah asks about that ahead of the one on Shabbos, the Teres Chaim says, is because the one about Shabbos is going to be a lengthier discussion. The one about Saras, we're going to dispose of the question in one line. So therefore, the Gemara put it first. Okay.
So the answer is because it's the Harcha.
The answer is yes. There can be a case of Maris Negoyim where you have four different ways to be chayav malchus, namely if the person cuts off the baharis, if the person cuts off the tzaraat spot, which makes
them chayav malchus.
So then you have, in other words, our Mishnah is saying Maris Negoyim Shtayim Shein Arba, and every one of them, if you cut it off, you're over on a lav and you're going to be chayav malchus.
How many are there?
There are four, we said. You have seis. And you have seis and it's secondary color. You have baheres and it's secondary color. Any of those four, when a person when they constitute saras, if a person cuts them off, or otherwise makes them look like they're not tome anymore, then he's chayv malchus because he's over on a lav. Where do we see a lav? The lav we get like Rav Oven says in the name of Rav Ila. The Amar of Oven Amar Rav Ila. Kol Mokum Shenema He Shomer Pen Va'al. Any place where the Torah says on a certain statement He Shomer, which means beware or pen lest or al don't. Ena El Loisetsa. All those things constitute a Loisetsa. So now when it comes to Torah, we have, aside from all the psukim in Parshas Tazriya and Masorah that describe the dinim of Saras, you have one pasuk in Parshas Kisese that says, Hishomer b'nega ha-Saras. Beware with the nega of Saras.
Meaning?
And what does that mean? So what is beware? That implies, Eloi says there, don't cut off Saras. Given what Rav Oven is saying in the name of Rav Ila, whenever it says Hishomer implies there's a Eloi says involved, what kind of a Eloi says can there be specific to Saras? Don't cut it off. So therefore, we see if a person has a seis and he cuts it off, he's over on that. A person has a sapach, the secondary color of seis, and he cuts it off, same thing, etc.
Did you turn your cell phone off?
Yeah, it does have a habit. Did you turn your cell phone off?
Because
it has a habit.
Yeah.
Of ring.
Well, I'll do it now.
Okay, thank you.
I just come from my wedding.
Right,
I came rushing here.
All right. Mazel then. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, so you do. Okay. Tosfos actually discusses the question, actually, can a person be chayav for cutting off a nega which is not, in fact, tomei? Tosfos brings from a Gemara in Shabbos that maybe you could be.
Any nega,
wouldn't it? No, but you would think it only applies to negoim tohorim, to negoim tmei, to negoim tmei. But Tosfos brings over there that Dalet Amud Aleph, middle of the Amud. Right about it. Anyway, so Tosfos discusses that back and forth a little bit. Mephoshim say, of course you chayav a lav, regardless what kind of tzaraas it is, but you only got malchus, which is what we're dealing here with in Gemara, for the four that are actually tamei. And therefore, the Gemara can validly be saying that you get malchus for four types of tzaraas and no more than that. Any others, you're over on a lav, because it could develop into real tzaraas, we don't get malchus here.
So it's only for the ones that are tamei, right.
Okay.
How do we know only the ones that are tummy?
Because the pasuk says, "Yishomer b'negat saras," and to be
both.
So no, but the negat saras means the ones that are tummy. Anyway.
So we can still understand that all the cases of our Mishnah are talking about what kind of penalty the person will get. Shavuot Shtayim Shein Arba, and he'll get
Malchus in all four. Yedias Atumah Shtayim Shein Arba. If he did it with Mezid, he'll get Malchus in all four. Saras, if he cuts off any of the four types of Saras, he'll get Malchus. Now, what about the Yetzias HaShabbos, my Malchus Ika? Then we have to ask, fine, what about the Yetzias HaShabbos of our Mishnah? Yes, Misa. What Malchus is there? Lav Shenitin Laz Horas Misa Spesinu. That is a lav where the defined punishment in the Torah is Misa Spesin. B'chol Lav Shenitin Laz Horas Misa Spesin and Loikin Olam. And as we learned in Marcus, when you have an Isser that there's a Chiyuv Misan, even if they give him Asrah from Malchus, he won't get Malchus. Because the Torah is removing this from the general category of things that are Chayiv Malchus and placing it instead in a different category, things that are Chayiv Misa. And therefore, there's no such thing as Asrah of Malchus for it. The answer is, well, then there you go. That's exactly why we need to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel. The Omar, because in fact, Rabbi Shmuel says in that Sugya and Marcus, Lab Shemitin Lazarus, Mrs. Space, and Loikin all of. Rabbi Shmuel Befeder says over there, as we learned at the beginning of the third parak of Marcus, that something that can be Chayiv Mrs. Space, in, you could get Malchus for. We learned at the beginning of the third parak over there when we discussed. There was a similar discussion. Who was the first Mishnah over their life? We said it can't be like Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel would say, Rabbi Shmuel would have included a bunch of Mrs. Space in over there, and we didn't. We only mentioned Chayiv Krisis, Chayiv Mrs. Space, and so forth. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Feirish Taka holds that if a person is Mechal Shabbos, and the Edim give him Asra, not don't do this because if you do, you're going to be Chayiv Skila, but rather don't do this because you're going to be Chayiv Malchus, and he does it, they can give him Malchus. Well, there you go then. Our Mishnah fits very well if we say that it's Rabbi Shmuel. Only if they gave him Asra for Misa. If they gave him Asra for Malchus, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he'll get Malchus. According to everybody else, he won't get anything. Because it's Misa's based in or nothing.
They have to give him normally both.
No, even the Gemara doesn't hold. No, yeah, it's one or the other Asura.
Yeah,
it's one or the other Asura. Whatever it is, yeah, whatever it is. So it works out very nicely if we say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel. Because then, Taka, you have that, number one, the explanation of the explanation of the Shavuos Shayim Shein Abba means that Chayiv Malchus for all four of them, whereas if it was a Korban, he'd say only two of them. And also, this way, you see, if the Shabbos ends up being Malchus as well. Okay. However, now the Gemara introduces a wrinkle. Ho lav hachi. So what are you telling me? And if it weren't for that consideration, ho lav hachi, if it weren't for that consideration, Kaima Kirab Akiva, are you telling me that if it weren't for that last consideration over there, you would prefer to say that our Mishnah, that this that we just said, that saying that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel makes it fit very nicely with the Yitzhak Shabbos? The problem with that is, does that imply that's the only reason to say that our Mishnah does not, if it weren't for that, we could say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva? Which we would prefer to do, after all. We would prefer, in general, to say that a Stam Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva, because, as we look back in Sanhedrin, a Stam Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir, a Stam Tesefta is according to Rabbi Yehuda, whatever, all the whole list over there, and all of them are Libra de Rabbi Akiva. All of them are following the opinions of Rabbi Akiva, because they were all in Samidim. So therefore, in general,
other things being equal, we prefer to say that a Mishnah goes according to a Stam Mishnah, goes with Rabbi Akiva.
So are you telling me the only reason to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel is what we were just saying, is because this way you see it, the Shabbos means Malchus, and this way also Shavuot Shtayim Shein Abba means Malchus in all four cases? If it weren't for that, is there a possibility that you could say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva? Kasha Yadiyah. Don't you have the problem, which we brought up at the beginning of the Sugya, that according to Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Yadiyah Satoma, only two of the four cases are you going to be Chayiv Malchus. Are you going to be Chayiv Korban, rather? Because Rabbi Akiva says that if we were rather to understand our Mishnah as being according to Rabbi Akiva, then we have no reason to assume that everything in the Mishnah is talking about Malchus. Because, in fact, at least when it comes to Yitzias Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva holds you wouldn't get Malchus for Yitzias Shabbos. You would get Misa or nothing. Misa or Kares or whatever, but not Malchus. So if you're going to say, if you wanted to say the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, how is it going, and meaning, you know, you're not going to Malchus, you're going to Korban, then you're back to the question that the Mishnah had started with the word Yediyah Satoma, not started, the Mishnah had said Yediyah Satoma Shtayim Shein Abba, and according to Rabbi Akiva, there are not four cases of Yediyah Satoma where you bring a Korban, there are only two cases. One where you didn't know you were Tomei and you ate Kachim, one where you didn't know you were Tomei and you went into the Beis Mikdash. Because he holds that the other ones, if you knew that you were Tamei but you didn't know this was Tachim, you knew you were Tamei but you didn't know this was a Beis Mikdash, you wouldn't bring a Korban, says Rabbi Akiva.
What would happen in that case?
You'd need some other Kapara. You'd have one of the Kaparas of the Korban of Tibur that we mentioned in our Mishnah, maybe, but whatever. You wouldn't bring a Korban over Yodin. So how are you even thinking to say that our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Akiva? The answer is, so, what's the problem? Lav amat Rabbi Shmuel heal the Malchus. Didn't you say, when we were trying to understand our Mishnah as being according to Rabbi Shmuel, we said the Mishnah is not talking about what Korbanos or whatever you chayev. The Mishnah is talking about what Malchus you chayev. Well, very well, Rabbi Akiva nami v'la Malchus. Very well, if we understand our Mishnah as being according to Rabbi Akiva, we can also say that our Mishnah is talking about what cases you're going to be chayev Malchus. So the Mishnah would be saying, Shavuos Shtayim Shein Abba, that if any of the four cases You would be chayv a korban if it was b'shogeg, but we're not dealing with that. You would be chayv malchus if it was b'meid. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva both agreed on that concept. Then we'd have yediyas atumah shtayim shein arba, where according to Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to a korban, there's only two cases where you'd bring, but malchus, you'd get malchus for all four. And then you have yitzias haShabbos and maris negoyim where you would have other punishments.
Again, it would be when it comes to Shabbos and malchus when it comes to maris negoyim. Fine, but it would be punishment.
But the problem is, if you're going to understand the Mishnah that way, that it's talking about what cases you get malchus, why is it saying yedias? Why is it saying the cases where you knew that you were tome, implying, and then yedias implies that there was a helam afterwards. Yedias atumah implies that you knew at the beginning you were tome, and then you forgot that you were tome, etc. In that case, the Mishnah should be using the word hatzroyis mibaylei. The Mishnah should be using the word hatzroyis atumah. You have four cases where they give you hasra for tuma, and you
because
violate because yediyah implies that you knew and then later on you forgot. Hello, hasra implies exactly that. Hasra. If we're talking about malchus, it has to be. If we're talking about malchus, it has to be the hasra. So really, actually, I mean, this question is not only if we say it's according to Rabbi Akiva. The question is also if we say it's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Either way, why is the Mishnah using the word yediyah hatuma? Which alone, the word yediyas implies that we're talking about a case where there's a korban. We should be using the word hasra'i, which implies that there was hasra and he was bemazed and he gets malchus. Okay, the answer is holy kasha.
You could still assume that even with the word yediyas, they would include hasra.
So that's the answer, basically. Holei kasha, tani yediyas, that's right. It's fine. When the Mishnah says yediyas, it means cases where the person knows yediyas because there was hasra. Not knows as in later on he forgot, but knows as in he knows full well what he's doing, and he violates hasra. Okay.
I want to ask this. If you warn him from the government, from the whole Shabbat,
yeah,
and he says, okay,
yeah,
he's Mechuyim Misha, right?
He says, I know that I'm chayv mitzvah, but I'm doing it.
Look, anybody would be machayv malchus too?
Yes, same. According to Rabbi Akiva, you never get malchus for chilul Shabbos anyway, whatever hasra they gave. According to Rabbi Shmuel, if they gave him hasra for mitzvah, he gets mitzvah. If he gave him hasra for malchus, he gets malchus.
But you don't get malchus.
Well, we discussed that in Malchus, actually. You said maybe we discussed there in the Gemara. Maybe according to some of the Amoraim answers, maybe you would. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the halacha is not like that anyway. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva that you never get malchus for Shabbos. It's one or the other. Okay. No, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not one or the other. It's misa or nothing. There's no malchus.
The other being nothing.
Yeah.
Because they have misa.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he says that there's no malchus.
Because Rabbi Akiva says that there's no malchus by chayv misa. Okay, fine. Ihochi, though, the problem, if you understand the Mishnah that way, that the Mishnah is talking about cases where you were over on Tumas Mikdash Vekodesh B'mezid, then Shtayim Shein Arba, what do you mean? There are two cases which worked out to four. Tauti Huda Havi, and then really all you only have is two. Because in order to be Chayiv Malchus, you have to know that you're Tomei, you have to know that this is Kodshim or the Beis Mikdash. So you only have two cases. One where you knew that you're Tomei and knew that this was Kodshim and ate it. One where you knew you're Tomei and you knew this is the Beis Mikdash and you entered it. You only have two. What are the other two cases? Mela, if you say that you're talking about cases of Shogig, then you have the various cases where you knew where you knew one and forgot the other or vice versa. But if you're saying that you know, and then, yeah,
two.
Yeah. The two, and not only that, you have another problem also if you understand the Mishnah that way. What do you mean? Es sheyesh ba yediyah b'tchilah b'yediyah b'sof b'helam in time. When the Mishnah continues, that you have a scenario where you knew at the beginning you were tomei, and you knew at the end, and you knew later on, you realized afterwards that you were tomei, the helam in time, and at the time you ate the kodshim or went into this mikdash, you forgot that you were tomei, and you forgot. Helam l'malchus, haloma l'malchus, my avidit. What kind of a haloma is there? If the Mishnah is telling us about the cases where you chayav malchus, then there's no haloma. By definition, you have to know what you're doing. The first question that we had was that you don't have four cases, you only have two cases.
Right.
The second case is, why is the Mishnah telling us anything about Helam Bintai? If the Mishnah is trying to tell us when you chayav a korban and when you potter from a korban, yeah, it's relevant to know whether there was elam or not. Because as the Gemara is going to teach us later, you can only bring a korban over the yod if there was yediyah at the beginning, yediyah at the end, and elam in the middle.
Okay.
But if you're talking about the mazid, you're talking about the guy's chayav malchus, there's no haloma by definition anyway. Of course, he knows. They give him atzra, and he says, I know, and I'm doing it anyway, and he goes and does it.
So we know that.
So why is the Mishnah telling us a case involving Helam if you're going to say that our Mishnah is telling us about Malchus?
Yeah.
The two are raised about Olav Yodet, and also what is the Mishnah continuing that then he brings a korban Olav Yodet? You just said you're trying to explain the Mishnah. You're trying to explain the Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva, or for that matter, according to Rabbi Shmuel, as talking about Malchus. So it doesn't work. Elo Amar Rabbi Yosef, so no. Rabbi Yosef says no. Never mind everything that we were saying until now. The Mishnah is not actually trying to tell us about the cases where you chayav Malchus. The Mishnah is actually telling us
where you chayav Korban. The cases where
there was halam bentayim when it comes to yediyas hatrum.
It can't be
that we're talking about malchus, because then the whole rest of the Mishnah doesn't fit. So we have to say that part of the Mishnah at least is talking according to Rabbi Akiva. But if we understand it that way, then we're back to the original question. According to Rabbi Akiva, let me rephrase that. If we say, fine. We can understand then that the cases of Yediyas HaTumma of necessity can't be like Rabbi Akiva. Because again, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's not four cases of Yediyas HaTumma where you chayav a korban. You are chayav malchus for all four, but you only chayav a korban for two of them. Given that we wanted to say our Mishnah is talking about malchus and then make it work according to Rabbi Akiva. Now we can't say that. We have to say of necessity that our Mishnah is talking about korbanos. Therefore, that part of our Mishnah about Yediyas HaTumma must be according to Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand,
we cannot say it talks about Malchus.
Because we said the Mishnah continues about implying that it's about a korban, and actually says so in so many words that it's about a korban. On the other hand, so therefore it can't be like Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have a korban in all four of those cases. You only have a korban in two out of the four cases. But that part of the Mishnah of necessity has to be like Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand, the part of the Mishnah about Shavuos, if we're going to say that it's not talking about the Mazid and Malchus, it's talking about the Shogeg and Korban, can't go like Rabbi Shmuel, because we said before that according to Rabbi Shmuel, when it comes to Shavuos, when it comes to a Korban for Shavuos, you only bring for Shavuos for the future, not Shavuos about the past. So therefore, we have to say that one part of it must be according to Rabbi Akiva and one part according to Rabbi Shmuel. Ela Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, Rebbe hi, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rebbe, the Nosiv Lo Al Libur the Tanoi. Rebbe took the opinions of two different Tanoim in different parts of the Mishnah. The Yediyas Nosiv Lo Rabbi Shmuel, when it comes to the Yediyas HaTumma, he formulated it according to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. The Shavuos Nosiv Lo Rabbi Akiva, and when it comes to the Shavuos portion, he formulated it according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Which means, in other words, by the way, so when we say the point of what Rabbi Yosef is saying, Rebbe even not of La Libra Tanoi, is we know there are many Mishnayos that existed in their current form or in something resembling their current form before Rebbe. So not always when we have a Mishnah that different parts of it are according to different Tanoim, is it necessarily Rebbe's handiwork? It could be that it came like that from previous generations, and we said it earlier on the Amud Mishnah Lezazim in Mekayimah. Once a Mishnah is formulated in a certain way, and the Chachamim were used to learning in a certain way, then they continue that way. Rebbe Hiv Nosiv La Libet Tanoi means this Mishnah in the form in which we have it didn't exist before Rebbe. When Rebbe came along and was compiling the Mishnayos, he chose to do one part of our Mishnah like Rebbe Akiva and one part according to Rebbe Shmuel. Well, that's the next thing. Amar Rav Ashi, Amrit L'Shmaita Kamei D'Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says that I told over this teaching in front of this discussion in front of Rav Kahana. V'Amali, and Rav Kahana, who was Rav Ashi's Rebbe, told him. Rav Kahana was Rav Ashi's Rebbe. Yeah. He tells me, Loi Temer Rebbe Nosiv La Libet Tanoi V'Leilei Svirlei. Don't think that by that Rav Yosef meant that Rebbe used the opinions of two different Tanoim without necessarily agreeing with that himself. Maybe you could have thought the reason why he did it is because the B'nai HaYeshiva held in the case of Shavuos like Rabbi Shmuel, and in the case of Yediyas Atuma, like Rabbi Shmuel, in the case of Shavuos, like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore Rabbi went along with their opinion. Don't think that way. Ella Rabbi Taima Dinafshim Mefarish. Rather, you have to say the reason why Rabbi used those two different opinions is because he himself holds when it comes to Yediyas one way and when it comes to Shavuos a different way. So it's not, he wasn't just going according to whatever the B'nai HaYeshiva decided and following the majority. He himself actually held this way. When it comes to Yediyas Atuma, he held like Rabbi Shmuel, that you chayav a korban in all four cases. And when it comes to Shavuot, he held like Rabbi Akiva, that you chayav a korban in all four cases. Okay, and how do we know this? The Tanya. We know this because we learn in a Braisa as follows. Minayin she'en chayav el al sheyesh v'yediyah v'tchila v'yediyah v'sleif v'helim in time. How taka do we know? So now we have to start dealing with, we said in the Mishnah that when it comes to Yediyas Atuma, you have to have known at the beginning, known at the end, and had a helam in the middle. Where taka do you know that from? So the Braisa says like this, Minayin she'en chayav el al sheyesh v'yediyah v'tchila v'yediyah v'sleif v'helim in time. How do we know that you're not only chayav if you had Yediyah at the beginning, Yediyah at the end, and a helam in between that you forgot in between that you're talking, etc.
We came to that conclusion.
We didn't know that. We said it in the Mishnah, but right. We said everybody agreed to it in the Mishnah. But how do we know it? How do we know it? Talmud Lomer v'nelam v'nelam shnei pa'amim divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says the reason is because twice in the psukim it says v'nelam. So you have two psukim back to back. You can look over here in Torah or Hashalom at the side. You can look over here in Torah or Hashalom at the side, and you see there are two psukim back to back. If a person touches anything that's tama, or the nivla chayat meya, the nivela of a treif chaya, or the nivla behemoth meya, or the nivla sheret tama, the nelam mimenu, and it's hidden from him, who tama v'ashem. Then the pasuk continues, if a person touches the tuma of a person, whatever tuma that person can be tama, right? The nelam mimenu, and it's hidden from him, who yodav v'ashem, and he knew, and he is guilty. Ah, so that's the thing. So you have a number of different explanations among Rishonim how exactly, that's the thing. Hold on. So Rashi understands like this. Since what Rabbi Akiva is saying is like this. Since it says twice vinelam, so the first one teaches us that there was a helam involved. The second one, which otherwise would be extra, that teaches us that what you do is, it's as if Rashi says, you take the yoda, which comes at the end of the pasuk, and stick it between the two vanellums. And before Shem say, it has to be, because obviously you knew at the end. If you don't know at the end, how are you even bring a carbon? So therefore, it says, if the pasuk said vanellum, and then yoda, and then vanellum, so therefore we see, you need a helam, a yediyah, and a helam.
Yeah, but you're changing.
Actually, it's the other way around, really. What you do is, sorry, what it is the other way around. There's a yoda, and then a nelam, and then a yoda. What we're doing is, in other words, we don't really need the, that's the thing. I messed it up. Rashi is saying you don't really need the yoda at the end because obviously you have to know in order to bring the korban.
Right.
Since it says twice vanelam, that allows the second vanelam is extra. Therefore, we can darshan that it means that you had a yediyah, then there was a nelam, and then obviously there has to be a yediyah at the end. Otherwise, how do you bring the korban?
And the second nelam.
So therefore, that the second nelam teaches us to darshan it that way.
If you
only had one vanelam, it would mean that if you were halam throughout, you never knew that you were tamei, and
right.
Eventually you discovered, then you would bring a carbon.
Right.
The fact that you have two vanelams, again, this is how Rashi is learning it, is that therefore the second vanelam tells us to darshan it differently, that it tells us that you say that there was originally a yediyah, then vanelam, then you forgot about it, and at that point you ate the kodshim or whatever, and then necessarily, there has to be a yediyah afterwards, because otherwise you're not bringing a carbon.
So the second nelam
is teaching you to do it that way, that you shouldn't think that nelam just means you never knew. It means that there was a yediyah preceding the nelam.
Why couldn't the pasuk state
it? It could have stated explicitly, but the pasuk didn't say it that way. But Rabbi Akiva is saying you're able to darshan it that way. Okay, Tosfos and a lot of other Mefarshim have a lot of problems with Rashi's explanation, and they have various different explanations. Tosfos says that what it is the second vanelam alone is the second vanelam alone implies that he knew beforehand. Later on,
yediyah,
right. So in other words, vanelam implies that there was a yediyah beforehand. Yeah. Also, Tosfos says that what we can do is we do use the vanelam and the vanelam and the yoda. What we do is we make it as if it was vanelam, then yoda, then vanelam. which implies, in other words, that...
So
what it means is it teaches us that there has to be a yediyah after the halem, and there has to be a yediyah before the halem.
Okay.
Necessarily, it has to be that order, yediyah, halem, yediyah.
But there's two yediyahs
in the pasuk. Yeah, but there's one yediyah in the pasuk. Right. There's one yediyah. But because we have, if we put them in the order, v'nelam, then yoda, then v'nelam, the implication is that we break it up into two parts. There had to be a yoda before a nelam, and when is that? Of necessity at the beginning.
Yeah.
And there had to be a yoda after the nelam, of necessity at the end.
Right.
So it's as if we take the thing and turn it inside out.
But it's more logical to say the first yoda and the...
Well, you only have one yoda. Yeah. You only have one yoda in the pot.
Yeah, but you don't need a second one.
Right.
Because it's obvious that...
That you have to have a yoda at the end, right. Right, but that's what Tosfos is saying. In other words, what the Pasuk is teaching us, in other words, is there's two different stages. Just the Pasuk is listing the two stages out of order. The Pasuk is listing Helam Yediyah, and then Helam. But what we do is we actually break it up and rearrange it. We have a Yediyah before Helam and a Helam before Yediyah.
We have to because otherwise it doesn't work.
Yeah. There's different other explanations. The Midrash talks about one. Another explanation that what it is we douchen it a little bit differently, as if it said Nelam v'yoda, v'yoda, as if it said yoda v'nelam, v'nelam v'yoda. He says, okay,
yoda v'nelam,
and then v'nelam v'yoda. Yeah. So in other words, there's a halem in the middle.
How do you work that out?
Okay. So again, because you have twice v'nelam, and therefore you have the second one available. For a drasha, we can
the first one and
so
the
you have
one consecutive nelams.
Yeah, uh-huh. Because again, you take the yoda and you use it twice. You use it once beforehand and once afterwards. Okay, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, that's how Rabbi Akiva says you learn. Rabbi Yoma ain't tzarich. Rabbi says I don't need that kind of drasha. Hareyo Yoma v'nelam. After all, and never mind the fact that it's a twice v'nelam. Just the fact that it says once v'nelam is enough. Miklal the yoda. V'nelam implies that you didn't know that you knew something originally and then you forgot it. Well, we're going to see later on, in tomorrow's Gemara, we're going to see it's not so simple. We could understand, and we're going to have an opinion that says that actually, that v'nelam could mean that you never knew about it.
We're going to discuss
later on whether v'nelam means that you knew something and then later on forgot it, or whether it could imply that you never knew. Rebbe is understanding it the first way. Nelam implies it's something that you knew at one point and then you forgot. So therefore, and when the pasuk is behu yoda, then the pasuk finishes off that he knew. Harekan shtei yediyos. So therefore, automatically you have two yediyos, and one of them is implied by the word v'nelam itself, because you can only have a nelam if you knew beforehand and then forgot. And the second yoda tells us that eventually you knew.
So you need one yoda.
Yeah. Imkain.
Two,
because the nelam itself includes the yoda. Imkain matam alem v'nelam v'nelam. So Rebbe continues, in that case, why taka does the pasuk say v'nelam twice?
That implies.
Rebbe still has to explain, what are you doing with the second v'nelam? The reason Rebbe Akiva is saying you use the second v'nelam for the drasha as a whole. Rebbe says you don't need it. So then what do? You use it for l'chayv al helam tumah v'al helam nefesh. He says that this comes to teach you that you chayv whether you didn't know the tumah or whether you didn't know that this is the nefesh.
The first nelam
teaches you that there had to have been, according to Rebbe, teaches us there has to be a helam. And the second v'nelam teaches us there can be two types of helam. One where you didn't know that you're tomei, and one where you didn't know that this is kosher. Whereas Rebbe Akiva disagrees with that. So we see that Rebbe himself, in this braisa, is disagreeing with Rebbe Akiva's drosha, and therefore that comes out to the implication of halacha. Rebbe Akiva is going to say that if there was helam mikdash, you're not chayav a carbon, which is why we said that part of our Mishnah can't work like Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe disagrees with that and says that you are chayav for helam mikdash as well, and therefore the part of our Mishnah that says where we said that the cases involved where he didn't know that he was tamei or he didn't know that there was a mikdash,
and still
that works according to Rebbe himself, and so Rebbe for that purpose preferred the understanding of Rebbe Shmuel. When we said that one part of our Mishnah goes like Rebbe Shmuel, it's actually it goes according to Rebbe. In that regard, Rebbe
chooses
Rebbe Shmuel's opinion, meaning because he disagrees with Rebbe Akiva's opinion. Yeah. Okay, fine. Ashkechon v'yediyah see at the time of Dinapshay. Okay, so now we see when v'yediyah patrova, we see therefore clearly that Rebbe has his own svara in opposition to Rebbe Akiva. Okay, Shavuos the Isle Tamir the Natchim and Nolan. Fine. How do we know when it comes to Shavuos Shaim Shein Arba? How do we know that in that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Akiva?
and disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel, that you would get, that you would bring a korban for all four cases? The answer is svara. The answer is, as far as that goes, as far as the shvur, it's a svara
that you can show that Rebbe holds like Rav Shimon. Well, we're going to see in a second. Okay, first we have, what we have in parenthesis over here, the Marshal takes out because it's basically just restating what the Gemara said in the last two lines, just in different words. We find, therefore, by Yedias HaToma, he holds like Rabbi Shmuel. The Shvurus, the Savalak Rabbi Akiva Manol. And how do we know by Shvurus he holds like Rabbi Akiva? Svara, who is the Svara. What is the Svara? Because they both learn it in the same way. Rabbi Akiva, my time, Machayev L'Sha'avar. Why is Rabbi Akiva Machayev for Shvurus in the past? The Dorish Rabuya Morti. Because he holds, when you have a case, we've discussed this concept before, that when you have a case in the Torah where you have, you can darshan something using klal or proper klal, or you can darshan it using ribui, near ribui, then Rebbe Akiva holds the second way, ribui or near. Well, Rebbe Nami darsh ribui or near. Rebbe also darshans in the same way. Therefore, since Rebbe holds that same way of darshaning, must be that he holds like Rebbe Akiva as far as the actual halacha that comes out of it. Namely, so Rashi says at great length over here, what it is like this. We have, in the Tukim here, we have as follows. The pasuk starts off by saying, Nefesh Kisi Shava, the Levati Vesfasayim, a person makes a Shavua and speaks with their lips. That would be a Klal, or Ribui, meaning anything that they, any kind of Shavua that they speak. Mm-hmm. Then the pasuk continues, Lahora Oy Lahetiv, to do bad or to do good. That is a Prat, or a Miut, as the case may be. And then you have, the pasuk continues, Lachol Asher Yivakeh Adam B'Shavua, anything that a person might speak out with a Shavua. That's another Klal or another Ribui. So the difference is like this. We've talked about this before. We talked about this. I don't remember where it was last place we talked about it, but I think it's a heading. But maybe earlier, I don't remember. Anyway, when you say, if you say klal or prat or klal, what it is like this. The Torah is giving us, as opposed to new ribbon, klal or prat or klal means we're going to create a class of things that are in the prat. And we're going to say anything that is in that class, anything that's as similar as possible to the things that are in that class, is going to be included in the klal. So if we go that way,
then we say lahara elahetiv are the lahara elahetiv are things in the future.
So fine, we can add other kinds of things that are in the future. We have no basis to say that it should include shavuos about things in the past, that I ate this bread and I didn't eat it, or vice versa. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel, who holds a klal or prat or klal, says that therefore you have no basis to say that you chayav a korban for a shavua in the past,
only in the future.
Because of that
klal or prat or klal.
Whereas Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Yeah. Rabbi Akiva holds ribui miyut ribui. Ribui miyut ribui basically means we're going to be marbe as much as possible because we have a miyut over there in the middle. We're going to be the one thing that is the most distant from that prat. In other words, according to, if we say klal or prat or klal, you have to have, in order for something to be included in the klal, it has to be fairly similar to the prat. If we say ribui miyut ribui, all it has to be is it's not so dissimilar to the prat. There's a difference, whether it's as close as possible, or whether it's not as far as possible. Yes.
And ribui miyut
ribui means it can be much less similar as long as it's not totally dissimilar.
And what difference
does
it make?
So practically speaking, then, so Rabbi Akiva is going to say, since we hold a ribui miyut ribui, he's going to say, yes, the pasuk is mentioning only shavuos in the future, but we can also include, via ribui miyut ribui, we can also include shavuos in the past. Because after all, they are lahara elahetiv in the sense there was good and bad in them, that he says that I ate it, or he says that I didn't eat it, or whatever. So all you're doing is you want to take out the one kind of thing that is least similar to what's written in the pasuk lahara elahetiv, and keep the rest. What's the one thing that is the least similar is the case of nishva lavasa with a mitzvah, the case where a person swears that I'm not going to do a certain mitzvah. That Rabbi Akiva says, if a person was over on such a shvur, like we said before, he's not going to be chayav a karban. That's the only thing that we're going to be memaized. Anything else, which is more similar to the hara elahetiv in the sense that it's a voluntary action, whether it's past or future, is going to be included. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, who wants to call a... Swearing on the future means that he says, for example, I'm going to eat this, and he doesn't end up eating it, or vice versa. Swearing on the past is, I swear that I ate this, and he didn't eat it, or vice versa.
And you cannot say that about Klal Ukvav.
Follow Prat Klal would mean it has to be very similar to the Prat. The Prat is only things in the future. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that anything in the past, any shvur that you're saying about something that happened in the past is not going to be included.
But you could say that even in Miyot, Tribui Miyot, past and the future are still very dissimilar.
But it's not the most dissimilar thing that there could be. The most dissimilar thing that there could be is something that you're required to do, namely a mitzvah. Lahora and Lahetav are not things that you're required to do. Having eaten in the past or not eating in the past is not something you're required to do either. A mitzvah is something you're required to do. That would be the most dissimilar thing, and that's what Rabbi Akiva would say the ribui miyut ribui takes out. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Akiva holds of ribui miyut ribui, therefore he says that includes shavuot about things that happened in the past. Rebbe also holds of ribui miyut ribui as a valid way of doubting. Therefore, he must hold the same as Rabbi Akiva when it comes to shavuot. Which proves our original point, that when our Mishnah says about Shavuos Shtayim Shein Abba and lists the types, and we said it's according to Rabbi Akiva, we said that part is according to Rabbi Akiva. The reason it's according to Rabbi Akiva is because Rebbe himself agrees with Rabbi Akiva on that.
And okay. Not the other part of the Mishnah.
Yeah. So, where do we see that Rebbe holds the Ribu Yomiyot, the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Bakur Poden Bechor Adam, you can be Poden a Bechor, a human Bechor, with anything. You don't need necessarily five actual silver shkolim. It can be something that's worth five shkolim. Chutzmen Ashtoreth, except for Shtoreth. The Rabbanan Amri, whereas the Rabbanan say in a Mishnah, in the Sefer Bechoreth, no, Bakur Poden Bechor Adam, Chutzmen Avodim, Ashtoreth, or Karkoris. They say there's three exceptions. Avodim, Shtaris and Karka.
Not only Shtaris.
So my timer, what is the reason behind the machlok? This is again one of these, is again, Klal of Prat Klal versus Ribu Miyot Ribu. My timer, the Rebbe, Dorish Ribu Miyot, it's like this. Rebbe Darshan, the Ribu Miyot as follows. Ufduyav Vimen Chodesh. The Pasuk starts off by saying the ones that are to be redeemed should be redeemed from a month old. That's Ribu, that's a Ribu, redeem them with anything you want. Then the pasuk continues. Be'er kachal kesef chameishes shkolim. That is me. So, what was that? We start off with a klal, but Rebbe's not calling it a klal. He's calling it a ribui.
Right.
Calling it a ribui. Then you have be'er kachal kesef chameishes shkolim. Then the pasuk continues that you have to use something of the according to the proper value, five shkolim of silver. That is me. That's a mir, meaning only five shkolim of silver. Tifdeh, then the pasuk continues, you should redeem, is again chaz of a ribu, is another ribu. Therefore, ribu miyot ribu. Therefore, again, we have a ribui, then that's limited by a miyot. Then we have another ribui, ribu hakol. So that ribui at the end comes to include everything, or almost everything, that was excluded by the miyot. My ribu kol mili, so what do we end up including? We end up including anything that has value of five shkolim. Well, my mir, so what is the one thing we have to take out? Again, the one thing that is the least similar to five shkolim, that is mir shtoreth. We leave out shtoreth because shtoreth themselves are not mammon. The paper itself is basically worthless.
It's mammon,
the paper itself is basically worthless.
Right,
the worth of it is in the content, is in the writing on it.
Right.
So therefore, that is the least similar to five shkolim. Anything else, though, avodim and karka, have intrinsic value. They're worth it. The shtar, no. The shtar's intrinsic value is in what's written. No, but that's the difference. The shtar doesn't have intrinsic value. It has a value based on what's written. The eved has... so that's there is actually a bit of discussion among the achronim. He's talking about paper money. There is some discussion among achronim and achronim whether... No. Whether paper money of the kind that we have nowadays, dollar bills or whatever, could work for that. Maybe it's not the same as a shtar chayv that we're dealing with because in a certain sense they have an intrinsic value because they're traded as actual currency. Okay, you have they're legal tender and all. Okay, you have achronim.
Practically zero.
No, but we don't.
Not the intrinsic value of paper, but the fact that they are traded as a dollar is considered to have an actual the actual value of a dollar,
as opposed to a shtar.
Not
never mind silver certificates that are backed by silver or whatever. Even the ones that are just backed by government promises, still they have the actual dollar bill as it's printed with whatever's printed, and it has the value of a dollar by definition, as opposed to a shtar chayv, not necessarily because it's from a private citizen or it's from a company or whatever that not necessarily is going to exist for all time.
Not
Okay, whatever. That's a side issue. That's a side issue. The point is we're talking about regular type shtarichol. So therefore, so Rebbe says that's the only thing we're going to exclude. As opposed to for Rabbanon Darshi Kol the appropriate, as opposed to the Rabbanon Darshan using Kala Prat. They're again,
where he has done everything up top. Therefore, the only thing you can include in the cloud is something which is very similar to the cloud.
Therefore, my prat mafurish dover on the talus of a gufin moment. So we have to look at how do we make up that class? What is special about the prat? What's one thing we can say about the prat? Is it's dover on the talus? It's something movable, the gufin moment, and it itself has intrinsic value. Ask called Dovra Matalta, but go for a moment. Therefore, the pasuk is telling you to include anything else which is movable and has intrinsic value. That's how we get out the other three. Yotzuk, Karkara, is chain and Matalta. Therefore, we have to exclude Karkara because Karkara is not movable. Yotzuk, Avodim, Shokshla, Karkara. We have to exclude Avodim because we have the Hekesh and the Torah between Avodim and Karkara. Because you have the pasuk, it's Nachalta Moisem, that you should bequeath your Avodim to your children, to inherit them like landed property. So the hekesh between Avodim and Karka. We discussed that maybe Daraisa versus Rabbanon, whatever, but yeah. In general, there's a hekesh. And Yotzer Shtoris, Shafi Shematalpin, and Gufan Mammon, and Shtoris are excluded, because even though they're movable, they're not Gufan Mammon. So therefore, again, so you have a practical difference in halacha between Ribui and Miyot and Miribui and Klal of Prat of Klal. Rebbe holds the one way, as we see, that therefore he says only Shtaris are excluded, Ribui, Miyot, Ribui. The Chachamim hold the other way. Therefore, if Rebbe Akiva holds when it comes to Shavuos of Ribui, Miyot, Ribui, and we see that Rebbe holds of Ribui, Miyot, Ribui in a different context by Pidyon Aben, it's logical to say that he would agree with Rebbe Akiva also when it comes to Shavuos.
That's the mockery. That's what we're saying. We don't have an actual source in the Braisa to say that he agrees with Rebbe on Shavuos, but we should say logically itself. However, then the Gemara is going to take up and see that not necessarily is that so. We may find someplace else where Rebbe does in fact use call it a prophet, but we'll, at this point, we'll leave that for tomorrow. That's the show.